I'm at the Futro launch, and I'm talking to, you are?
Richard Jones from Fraser Nash Consultancy.
And what is Fraser Nash?
We're an engineering consultancy of some 500 people. We work across an enormous range of diverse markets, everywhere from defence to the health service. Rail is currently our fastest growing market in this last financial year.
Okay. Tell me about Futro then. What is Futro?
Futro is about wringing the best out of the asset, which is the British Railways network. We're very constrained on space in the UK, and it's extremely expensive to build new railway. And yet the way in which we manage and use the railway today is really quite inefficient. Futro is aimed at unlocking the efficiency that's latent in the railway asset and also in the industry, I think.
And that's changing things in a number of ways. I mean, we heard a lot today about the need to change the sort of technical process of managing the rail network, much more real-time data. And we also heard quite a bit about the need for process change in terms of what the people do as well as what the technology does.
I think it's like any large industrial change, which particularly one which spans so many different organisations as are involved in the rail industry. It starts off with a change of mindset. And the rail industry has grown up, obviously, over a long period with a particular mindset. And one example would be the fail-safe mindset, which serves the industry well in terms of safety, but very poorly in terms of reliability. The end stop, after all, is that things will just grind to a halt. Mm. And the railway gets away with doing that because it can, whereas other industries, say, for example, the commercial airline industry, they can't do that. They can't exhibit the same behaviour.
And why is Futro important? Most people listening to this, unless they've actually been at the event today, probably won't have heard of Futro. Mm. So why is it important?
I think it's new in a number of ways. It's new in the way it thinks and looks at the getting the best out of the assets that are involved here. It's also an initiative which is across all of the organisations and companies within the current rail structure. The restructuring of the industry at privatisation really served against collaboration in the industry. And it took a little while for the industry to collaborate properly in terms of safety and standards. And for the RSSB, whose core event this is, to be formed in the first place. So that was a mark of a step forward. And this is a really most significant step forward again, because what it's trying to do is get companies in the industry to work together to produce a better outcome for the passenger and for the taxpayer.
And what did you think of the event today?
Particularly this morning, I thought the session was very motivational. I'm an engineer, and most people, we did a show
of
hands.
There were a lot of engineers. Yeah, absolutely.
The room was full of engineers. Engineers get up in the morning wanting to change the world for the better. That's their reason for being, and they want to use technology, and they want to use their skill to do that. And I think there are a lot of frustrated people in the industry, and I guess I'm one of them, in terms of wanting the industry to perform better and having to work within an industry which is quite constrained and in many cases has a popular reputation for not perhaps being at the cutting edge of technology. This is in effect the senior people in the industry, the technology strategy leadership group, standing up and saying to the engineers in the room, you've got permission to do your job well, now go and get on with it. And I personally really appreciate that.
And you can see, looking forward, I mean, we're looking forward 30 years, basically, aren't we, or trying to.
Yeah.
You can see the probability of increased capacity, technology delivering increased capacity in the network and opening up lots of new services. Is that where it's going?
It's not in doubt that we need to make this work. There's some recent survey work being done, and anybody can check from Network Rail's own website, for example, the rate of increase in passengers using the railway. Even in the worst days of the recession, the industry didn't even quite flatten out. The number of passengers still rose in the worst years of the recession. Mm. And I think last year we were looking at something like 8% rise in passenger numbers last year. Some study work commissioned by RSSB has looked forward, and it tells us that in 30 years' time, twice as many people will want to use the railway as today. And that between now and then, on average, the UK is going to have to spend £2 billion a year on additional rolling stock alone just to meet that demand. I spoke earlier about the fact that the asset, the land to build railways on, yeah, and the cost of building railways in themselves, And the fact, as we can see from HS2, that people don't necessarily want a new railway in their back garden. All of those factors tell us that we've got to squeeze more out of what we've got, and Futro is the key that's aimed at unlocking that capacity.
And what about the group of people that are at Futro? I mean, you mentioned they're nearly all engineers. How are the engineers going to influence the other people who need to be involved in this? And I'm thinking kind of the wider society, the politicians, policymakers. How's that going to work? Is that Futro's job as well?
I think, you know, some of the discussions we've had today look at the way people will interact with the railway in the future. And that might be in a much more relaxed and a much more open way. People might use rail services in quite a different way. Access might be different. At the end of the day, politicians have a habit of figuring out what the people really want and going along with it. And perhaps that's the key for the engineers and the businesses, to draw passengers with them and use those passengers to exert the political influence that's needed. The only other point I would make there is that the whole process here, the TSLG, the Future Programme, EIT, RSSB, these are all funded, you know, directly from central government. So there is money being made available to push this forward. Yeah, I'm sure engineers would always say they want more, but at least there's enough money now to make this happen, which is a very good thing.
So you see the role of an event like this in bringing together people from across the industry as a key component of bringing about the sort of change that you want to see?
It's a place to share ideas and for the leaders of the industry today to give us all motivation. What I described there is the permission to do our jobs. Otherwise, we kind of all sit within our own businesses and we don't really see that there is a momentum behind this thing. So yeah, I think it's an excellent event from that point of view.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you, Brian.